Hey, welcome to Serial Sisters, a podcast where my sister and I tell each other true crime stories. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Devonna.
And this week, Devonna has a story for me.
We're finally back. The last couple of months have been just a huge dumpster fire for me, but I'm hoping that 2019 is going to be worth our time. So this week I'm covering a disappearance that I stumbled upon while I was lost in a Wikipedia hole like 2 days ago because I didn't know what I was going to do. And I mostly picked it because it's in like the area that we know, but I haven't heard of the case.
Okay.
It's the disappearance of Gary Mathias, but they're also called the Yuba County Five. So if you look them up, it's the Yuba County Five. So it took place on February 24th, 1978, and Gary, along with his four friends, so Bill Sterling, Jack Hewitt, Ted Weir, and Jack Madruga, decided to attend a basketball game at Chico State University to support the UC Davis basketball team. So they had traveled 50 miles from Yuba City to Chico in Madruga's 1969 Mercury Montego.
Ooh, sounds like a fancy car.
It does.
I don't know shit about cars. It's probably a piece of crap.
I think it was like tan, too. I don't even remember what color it was. And they were like going to support Davis at the game. So after UC Davis won the game, they drove to Bears Market, which was in downtown Chico, and they just bought snacks and sodas and cartons of milk. And it was just before shortly PM. And then, none of the men were ever seen alive again after this point.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Well, now I feel bad for making fun of their crappy car. I mean, I should have known better. I know what this podcast is.
Yeah, like, something happened. So... Gary served in the army, and he was stationed in West Germany in the 1970s. So doing some background on him. So during his time in the service, he developed drug problems, which is like, who can blame a dude, right? And he was eventually diagnosed with schizophrenia. Police records show he'd become violent on occasion and was charged with assault twice. When he returned from the service, he had a difficult period where he would fail to take his medications and would lapse into a disoriented psychosis and was hospitalized with the VA. But by 1978, Gary was treated on an outpatient basis and was considered to be a sterling success case. So he was, like, doing a pretty good job. So Gary was 25, and he was close friends with the four other men, some of them were slightly older than he was. And the four men had either been described as having intellectual disabilities, or they were called slow learners, which is, like, not like a fun thing to say. But it is, like, the 70s, so that's what they call them. So Bill was 29, and Jack was 24, Ted was 32, so there were two Jacks, I think... So Jack Hewitt, I think, is the second one. Was 30. So they were all, like, most of them were, like, either in their mid-20s or, like, their early 30s.
Okay.
So all of the men had lived at home with their parents and were referred to as the boys, like, collectively. So the men often got together to play a game or watch one on TV. So they just, like, really liked sports. So they played basketball games together as the Gateway Gators and were sponsored by a local program for the mentally handicapped. The Gators were due to play their first game in the week-long tournament sponsored by the Special Olympics the next day, which was February 25th. The winners would win a free week in LA, which seems like a shitty prize to me, but that's just me.
And then there's some cool stuff in LA. I liked Venice. Yeah. I wandered around Venice at one point for a couple hours. It was cool.
I'm so claustrophobic. Sometimes in the city, like, I know Portland's not that, like, big of a city, really, but even then, when I'm there, I'm just like, get away from me, all of you people.
I couldn't handle driving in it. I had to pull over and be like, no, it's your turn. I'm done. I can't do this. I'm going to cry, so it's your turn.
Like, when I flew over LA once at night, the lights from all of the traffic, like, on the highways, like, short-circuited my brain. Like, I was just like, what? Like, I can't.
Yeah.
But it's just apples and oranges. Some people like it.
Yeah.
Not for me. So they were all, but all of the men were very excited about the upcoming game. So they had been talking about it for forever. And Ted had asked his mother to wash his new high-top sneakers for the tournament. And Gary had kept reminding his mother about the big game and asked her not to let him oversleep, like, multiple times.
Mm.
He was like, dude, I got it. So Ted Weir's mother was the first to notice that the boys had not returned from the game. She called Bill Sterling's mother at 5 a.m. So Bill's mother had been up since 2 waiting for him and confirmed that Bill hadn't come home either. And Bill's mother had already called Jack's mother and found out that he hadn't returned either.
Which Jack?
Of course. Oh, the second one. Sorry.
Okay.
Gosh darn it. Yeah. I didn't notice that when I was typing it, I didn't notice that they were both named Jack. And I was like, God damn it. But, so the second Jack. So that's, I think Majeruga's the first one and Hewitt's the second one.
Okay.
Then finally, it was also confirmed that Gary was missing as well. So he didn't come home. So at 8 p.m. that evening, the first Jack, so Jack Majeruga, his mother called the police. Police in Butte County, of course, and Yuba counties began searching along the route the men took to Chico. So no sign of them was found, but a few days after, a Plumas National Forest ranger told investigators that he had seen the Montego parked along the Orville-Quincy Road on the 25th. He had not considered the car out of place, since many people often drove up into the Sierra Nevadas on winter weekends to go cross-country skiing, which is just like, stay at home.
Yeah, see, I've driven through that area in the winter. I don't want to get out and ski through all those fucking trees and that shit show. No. It does not sound fun. That's a whole lot. Uh-huh. Like, cross-country skiing out here in the middle of nowhere where there's nothing but sagebrush and it's nice and flat, that's fine.
Right?
I'm not doing it in the mountains.
So, the guy that saw the car, he reported the car to the authorities on the 28th. So, that was technically 4 days after they went missing. So, inside the car was evidence suggesting that the men had been in it, but between when they were last seen at the store and when it was abandoned. The wrappers and empty cartons and cans they purchased were strewn on both seats of the car. And everything had been eaten except for a Marathon bar, which was half eaten. And then the car was found 70 miles from Chico, far from any direct route to Yuba City or Marysville. Mm-hmm. I don't know why it really mentioned Marysville, but maybe that's like a way to get to Yuba City, but whatever. So none of the men's families could think of a reason why they might have driven up a long and winding dirt road on a winter night into a high elevation remote forest without any extra clothing. And on a night before the big basketball game. And then, so Jack's parents, the first one, so Jack Majeruga, said that he did not like cold weather and he had never been up into the mountains. And then Bill Sterling had gone fishing with his father once, but Bill had not enjoyed himself. Which is just like, I also get that because Nate's always trying to convince me that fishing is fun. And like, sometimes, but also like most of the time, I can't be swayed.
No. Mike goes fishing, and I'll, like, go out there, and I'll sit with him, but I'll bring a book, and I'll sit there and read as he fishes. It's fucking boring.
I just, like, yeah, I don't want to wait. I'm tired. I'm cold. I'm wet. I don't like it.
No, see, I stay dry. I sit on the edge of the lake, and I will sit there and read.
Yeah. No, Nate always likes boat fishing, and I'm like, I don't want to be wet. Get away from me. So, but he had usually remained home when his father took later trips. So he, like, just was like, peace out. I don't like this. And so police also could figure out why the men had abandoned the car in the first place. So they had reached the snow line, which was 4,400 feet in elevation, just short of where the road was closed for the winter. And they had gotten snuck in some snow drifts and the tires had spun. But the five men should have been able to push the car free. Police thought that maybe the car wasn't running properly, but the keys were not present. So they thought that the men had left the car to get help and had intentions of returning with help later. But when police hotwired the car, it started with no problems. They even had a quarter tank of gas. So, like, they could have driven the car if they had just, like, pushed it out of a snowbank.
But, I mean, if none of them are used to the outdoors, maybe it never occurred to them to push it.
That's true.
Maybe they just thought if the car was stuck, then it's stuck, and you need, like, a tow truck to drag it out.
Right, yeah, like, if you're not familiar with the winter and, like, how to drive in it, for sure.
Yeah.
But then the car was towed back for a more thorough examination, and the questions, like, just kept coming. There were no dents, gouges, or even mud scrapes, like, even on the low-hanging muffler or the undercarriage of the car, even though it had been driven up a long distance, like, up that rutted and bumpy mountain road. So this suggested that either the driver had been very careful, or it was someone who knew that the road, like, who knew the road that they were driving.
And so knew how to avoid all the bumps.
Right, yeah. But then again, the car was left unlocked and with a window rolled down, which was not something that Jack Madruga was known to do with his car. And, like, no one ever drove his car. Like, he would not literally, like, let anyone.
Yeah, one of those guys. Yeah. With my baby, so, you're not allowed.
Exactly. So, like, that was just, like, not something. It didn't seem plausible that, like, either he would leave the car like that or that he would let someone leave the car like that.
Yeah.
Then, the day that the car was discovered, a severe snowstorm rolled in and dropped, like, 9 inches of snow, and efforts to continue searching had to be halted. And 2 days later, searchers and snowcats nearly got lost themselves, and the search was called off due to the weather. And no trace of the men had been found except for the car. So that's all they had to go on at that point. Local media covered the case, and police began receiving reports of some or all of the men being sighted after they had left Chico. Some reports put them elsewhere in California or in the country, but these were easily ruled out.
Yeah.
The lead detective was so desperate for answers that he overcame his skepticism and he consulted a psychic. Which I always just, like, love that when they do that.
Yeah. They're like, this is probably bullshit, but I'm out of ideas, so.
I might as well try it. So, one had told him that the men had been kidnapped to Arizona and Nevada, and had claimed the boys had been, another claimed the boys had been murdered in Orville, which is like, yeah, I believe that.
Yeah, people get murdered in Orville. That's what happens when you have that many tweakers in that small of an area.
Right. So, in a two-story red house, so they were very specific, which was either brick or stained wood, with a gravel driveway, and with the number 4723 or 4753. That was just, like, fascinating, because it was so, just, like, very specific. But the investigator looked for the house for 2 days, driving every street in Orville, which was, like, big surprise the house didn't exist.
Yeah.
In the article by the Washington Post, which I, like, got a lot of this information from, it says that the lead investigator was so obsessed with finding the men that he could rattle off their names and vital stats, like, almost automatically.
Damn.
And finally, there were two reported sightings of the men that stood out. Okay, this, like, shit just keeps getting weirder and weirder. A man named Joseph Shans of Sacramento told police that he'd been driving up the same road the men went missing sometime after 5:30 p.m. He was checking the snow lines since he wanted to bring his wife and daughter up that weekend to the cabin that he owned. Which, again, is just like, I don't want to go to the cabin. I want to stay home.
It depends on whether there's electricity. But yeah, I feel you.
Yeah, I want to be warm. So, Joseph also got stuck just above the snow line, about 50 yards where the men's car was found. And as he was trying to free his car, he had a heart attack. Which is just like
the Jesus. Worst
look.
Right? Fucking stuck in the snow and then you just have a heart attack.
Like, poor bastard. He's just, like, trying to do this nice thing for his wife and his daughter.
Your day just go up from worst to the shittiest.
Yeah. So poor Joseph. He gets back into his car and he keeps the engine running to provide heat. He lays in the car for 6 hours.
Oh, fuck!
Yeah. So when he finally saw headlights coming up behind him, he saw a car parked behind him with the headlights on and a group of people around the car. He said that one of the people appeared to be a woman holding a baby. He called out to them for help, but he reported that they stopped talking and then they turned out their headlights.
Weird.
Later, he sees flashlights behind him, but that they also went out when he called to them. So, like, super sketch. They don't want to be noticed.
So yeah, but a woman with a baby, that's not the same group, you wouldn't think.
Right. Okay. right? Just keep that in mind. After the car ran out of gas in the early morning, the pain had subsided enough that he was able to walk 8 miles down the road to a lodge where he was able to get the...
What? Oh, Julie!
Yeah.
You have a heart attack and then you have to fucking take an 8 mile hike in the woods in the snow!
Yeah.
Shit!
The poor guy, like, cannot catch a break.
Jesus! Okay, I'm sorry, I'm still listening, but Jesus!
Yeah, no, I know. I was just like, this poor guy, like... He just needs someone to help him.
Right? And
so finally, he gets to the lodge. He walks the 8 miles. Like, fucking fuck. He just had a heart attack.
Jesus.
His family
probably... Had another one on his way.
Yeah. Like his wife probably has no idea where he is. Because it's like the fucking 70s. There's not cell phones.
Yeah.
He can't be like... Well, I guess if he's in the mountains, too, it wouldn't be like great service. But... He's just, like, lost in the fucking wilderness.
Jesus.
And so, I felt so bad for this dude. So when he gets to the lodge, he gets a ride home from the manager. So, they pass the abandoned...
Why not a ride to the hospital? I'm sorry, hold on. You went home?
It said ride home.
What the fuck? Okay, and continue. Like,
each article I said he got a ride home from the manager, and I was like, okay, he got a ride home.
You need to go to the hospital. Sorry, continue. He can't hear me. This was like 40 years ago. Continue.
So, at that point, they had passed the abandoned Montego, where he recalled hearing the voices when he lay in his car.
Huh.
So he saw that car and was like, huh. Like, that's where I thought there were people last night when I was laying in my car.
Yeah. But,
and then also,
I mean, it could have been coincidence. Maybe the Montego ended up there afterwards from the different people. Like, there was the one group being all sketchy out there, and then they left, and then he did his little hike back into town, and then the Montego ended up there.
Yeah. So, who knows? Yeah. But that's what he says. So he thinks... Like, he sees the car, he's like, for sure, like, that's where I heard voices coming from last night, and they fucking ignored me when I needed help, and I was having a heart attack.
Yeah.
Which is what he should have said.
Yeah. Fuck those people, they're the worst.
Yeah, fuck you. So then, in every article that I found on this, it also states that the doctors later confirmed that he had indeed had a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, like, so weird to me that they always put that in there. Like... That he would lay in his car in freezing temperatures for no fucking reason.
And then hike 8 miles into town, just, I'm making it up, for funsies.
Yeah, or that he was, like, faking it, the heart attack thing, that he would, like, not the heart attack thing, because they confirmed it, but, like, or that he was able to, like, somehow overcome and murder all those men, dispose of their bodies, and then hike to the lodge, all while having a heart attack.
Right.
Like, I don't know, like... It was just a weird implication, like, that he would fake a heart attack. It was weird. And then Ted's mother said that it was unlike him to ignore someone's pleas for help, like, if he had indeed been there.
Yeah.
So he had once driven a friend to the hospital after they had overdosed on Valium. So, like, he seems like such a nice guy. He's like, I'll help you.
Mm-hmm.
So, after the other sighting was a woman who worked in a store in Brownsville, which is about 30 miles from where the car was found, which the men could have reached if they had continued down the road from where they left the car. On March 3rd, so a little bit later, after flyers were distributed to know, or no, on March 3rd, after flyers were distributed with the men's pictures and information with the $1,215 reward, and also, it also felt that it was important to tell me that that's $4,700 in modern dollars.
I mean, that's nice to know. I always get kind of curious.
Yeah, so there's that.
Mm-hmm.
So, the woman told deputies that the four of the men had stopped in the store in a red pickup truck 2 days after the disappearance. The owner corroborated her account, so the store owner, sorry. The woman said that two of the men had stayed in a phone booth outside, while the other men went inside. The items that she reported they bought had matched, like, their buying habits.
Uh-huh.
But not much else came of this sighting. At this point, there's not, like, evidence pointing to any clear conclusion about what happened to the men, and police were and the families were not ruling out foul play.
Mm.
Although what comes next seems to suggest otherwise, it still raises more questions than answers. Ugh, it's so, okay, so now we're getting into, like, the real crazy, like, meat part of it.
Okay.
So that's all just, like, set up. So they're just, like, missing. No one knows what the fuck happened to them. They just disappeared.
Okay.
On June 4th, a small group of motorcyclists wandered into a deserted forest service trailer camp at the end of the road and encountered a nauseating smell.
So quick side note. Quick side note. You think group of motorcyclists? You think Pappy was in that group? Right area. Right time.
Right area. Right time.
Just saying.
Who knows?
Okay, sorry. We're done. Keep going. Okay.
So, there's a little group of my, like, so they like, a small spat. So, they discover the body of Ted Weir.
Aww.
So, he was stretched out on a bed in, oh shit, I lost my spot. Oh, nope, there it is. Inside the main 60-foot trailer, frozen to death. So, his body was wrapped in 8 sheets, which were pulled over his body and tucked around his head.
Fabric sheets or plastic sheets?
Fabric.
Okay.
So, his shoes were also missing.
Hmm.
The table by the bed held his engraved ring that had his name on it, his wallet, his necklace, and a watch which family said did not belong to any of the missing men.
What the fuck?
And Ted, yeah, okay. So, and then Ted had been a tall, heavy-set man when he went missing. But by the time his body was found, he had lost from 80 to 100 pounds. And his feet were badly frostbitten, like almost like rotting.
But the weight loss and the frostbite, before he died or after? Like, was he starting to decompose so he looked before. Thinner? Oh, okay.
So also, he had a beard growth that showed that he had lived anywhere from 8 to 13 weeks.
Oh, shit.
Starving inside the trailer.
Oh, shit.
Okay. He was about 20 miles from the car and was wearing very lightweight clothes, like just like not winter clothes at all.
Like the type of shit you'd wear to a basketball game.
Right, yeah. In Chico, like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and then he had either walked or ran or has somehow been taken through 4 to 6 foot snowdrifts to reach the trailer where his body had been discovered.
Mm-hmm.
The trailer had been broken into through a window, and there was no evidence that there was a fire started, even though there were matches and an abundance of paperback novels that would have burned easily. So, like, there was a way to just, like, start a fire, keep yourself warm.
Yeah.
And then also, more than a dozen sea ration cans from the outside storage shed had been opened and emptied, and one had been opened with an Army P-38 can opener. Which is, like, very specific, I guess, which only Jack or Gary would have known how to use, since they were in the service.
Yeah.
But there was also a locker in the same shed that those sea rations were in that they had emptied, the food rations, that held enough dehydrated Mexican dinners and fruit cocktail and, like, other meals to keep all 5 men alive for 1 year.
Huh.
So there was enough food to feed all of them, and they found that one guy starved. So,
and
no one touched. Also, there was a propane tank on the outside of the shed that no one had touched, and if they had just turned that on, they would have had heat.
Mm-hmm.
And a way to cook the food.
Yeah.
And then the day after Ted's body was discovered, searchers found the remains of Jack Madruga and Bill Sterling. They lay on opposite sides of the road to the trailer, about 11 and a half miles from the car, so not quite as far.
Yeah.
And Jack had been disturbed by animals and dragged into a stream, which is really sad.
Mm.
And Bill, sadly, was only scattered bones over about 50 feet. And then 2 days later, in another search, Jack Hewitt's father found his son's backbone. And investigators had tried to talk him out of joining the search, fearing that something like this might happen.
Yeah.
But his father couldn't be talked out of it, and he just really was, like, adamant that he did it.
Yeah.
He was like, dude, don't do that to yourself. That does not sound fun.
Yeah, but I understand it.
Yeah. Ugh. So, and then there were also other, like, a few other bones around, along with Jack Hewitt's Levi's and his shoes.
Mm.
And then a skull was found the next day and was identified as Jack Hewitt's.
Mm.
And like Bill Sterling and Jack Madruga, Jack Hewitt's remains were found northeast of the trailer. Searchers found 3 Wood Forest Service blankets and a 2-cell flashlight northwest of the trailer, but it was impossible to tell how long those items had been there.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was no sign of Gary Mathias other than his tennis shoes, which were found inside the forest trailer.
Weird.
Right? So it appeared that maybe Ted wasn't alone. And also, like, how did he wrap himself in the sheets, right?
Yeah. But why leave your shoes behind after you wrap your buddy in a sheet?
Right. So, we'll get to that.
Okay.
So, investigators wondered if Gary could have taken off his shoes to put Weir's shoes on, which were larger and might have been more comfortable if Gary's feet were swollen with frostbite.
Okay. Fair enough.
Right? So, they're like, maybe his feet are just, like, super fucked up. He knows his buddy's in bad news, and he just, like, takes his shoes.
Fair enough.
It's just a guess. Like, they don't have any proof that that is what happened.
Mm. Could you do that?
So, since...
Take a dead person's shoes if you needed them?
Fuck yeah, I could.
I don't know if I could.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
I'd take your shoes.
I think it depends on how close we were. If it was a stranger, yeah, sorry, you're dead. Sucks to be you taking the shoes. If it was, like, mom, I don't think I could.
What if it was, like... Oh, God, this is terrible. But what if it was, like, you had to get help so that we could have mom, like, buried? Like, that we could know where mom is forever. Like, that, you know? Like, you know what I mean? What if you were, like, in the wilderness and you were, like, I gotta walk out and tell people where mom is. Could you take your shoes to do it? Because I could.
I don't know.
I could do that.
Take the shoes off of my dead mother.
To save her? Yes, I could.
Our dead mother. No, she's already dead. There's nothing you can do to save her.
Well, I don't want her to be just, like, left there. Yeah. So you could be like, people, that's where my mom is. Go get her.
I don't know. I think I'd have a hard time touching our dead mother's body. This is a really weird conversation. You know mom listens to this, right? You just stop.
Edit this part out.
Leave it in. See what happens. Move it in, see what happens. I don't think any of us are getting Christmas presents ever again.
No, oh God, shit, I know. I pay my own rent.
Whatever, you're the heathen that's going to steal our dead mother's shoes. I'm getting Christmas presents. You get nothing.
To save her. To, like, save her. But to, like, bring her home.
I'm respectful of her corpse, and I'm not going to desecrate it.
But then, like, think about me and DJ. We'll be like, where's mom and Kristen? Like, they're just gone.
We'll find this eventually with all of our clothing on. I don't know. Still a hard question. I don't know. Let's hope I never have to find out.
The will to live is strong in me. I think I could do it.
I don't know.
I always tell Nate, like, I will not save you. If it's between you and me, it's me. I'm winning.
When I'm fully relying on Mike to save me. Like when we were in Winnemucca okay. And we almost got murdered by tweakers, I was fully relying on Mike to save me.
I will push Nate down. Like, it's been nice knowing you. Thank you for 11 years. Goodbye. No, thank you.
Okay, we got way off track here. We need to keep going with your story. Sorry. I'm done. Oh. Sending us down tangents.
No clue. They don't know what happened. So, they distribute descriptions of him to the state mental institutions, right? Since he was schizophrenic, he was taking meds. So, Gary wasn't carrying his billfold when he went to the basketball game in Chico. So, he didn't have any ID on him. There was also concern that since he was now off his medications at that point, and he had been, like, taking them faithfully for at least 2 years.
Yeah.
So Gary's stepson would continue to look for him. Did I write stepson? I meant stepfather. Oh my gosh.
That made a lot more sense. I was a little confused when you said stepson, but I was just going to go with it.
Yeah, no, I totally meant stepfather. So Gary's okay. Stepfather would continue to look for him around the area that he disappeared from, thinking that his glasses would be the most likely to find. Oh, and this is so sad. He was quoted in the article as saying that he didn't think a bear would eat his glasses. Like, he was like, that's, like, the one thing I'd look for, because I think I might find that. Because if they got eaten by an animal. Like,
that's really upsetting.
And I was like, aw, why'd you put that in there? So, I had to tell you, because I had to read it.
Gee, thanks.
So, Even with the discovery of the four of the five men's bodies, they still couldn't explain what had happened to the men. They did learn that Gary had had friends in the small town of Forbestown, and police believe that it was possible that in an attempt to visit them on the way home, the men may have taken a wrong turn near Orville that put them on the mountain road.
Mm-hmm.
But friends said that they had not seen Gary in a year, like those friends.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't think it was likely that he had gone out of his way to see them.
Hmm.
So, for whatever reason, after the men left the car, they had, instead of going down the road, which would have taken them to the lodge that our heart attack friend, Joseph, walked to, they continued along the same road in the direction that they were originally going. And police said that purposeful motion like this is not consistent with the circular patterns traveled by those who genuinely believe themselves that they're lost.
Yeah.
So another theory is that the men had followed a Forest Service snowcat's tracks, which had passed through the day before on its way to the trailer to clear snow off the roof. And police had speculated that they could not, Police speculated that they could have believed that shelter was not too far away. And they suspect that Jack Madruga and Bill Sterling had succumbed to hypothermia midway along the walk to the trailer. Okay, so, like, maybe they all just, like, got stuck in the car, tried to get to the trailer, two of them didn't make it. Right.
But how did they know the trailer was there?
Exactly.
Well, weren't all the bodies that were found, like, on the way, they were dressed, weren't they? Don't people with hypothermia do that weird thing where they suddenly get super hot and start stripping their clothes off?
Yeah, like, that's...
Like, those people in, like, that Russian pass, right? That they don't know what happened?
We call this the American Detlef Pass.
Jesus, I am good. So, I am psychic. Anyways,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, you are. Elvis case. So, which I thought was crazy.
Huh.
Police also assumed that once they had reached the trailer, the remaining three broke a window to enter. But they may have feared that the trailer was private property, and they were afraid that they would be arrested for theft if they had used anything else in the trailer. Which, like, I mean, they call them, like, intellectually disabled, but mm-hmm. that doesn't really seem possible. Like, if they ate some of the food, it doesn't seem possible that they would be like, oh, we can't eat any more of the food or we'll go to jail. Like, they already broke in.
My concern with a place like that would be if they've got, like, a serious store of rations and it's all set up to live off the grid, would not be going to jail, it'd be the crazy redneck who owns that place coming in and shooting me for trespassing.
Well,
personally.
It's like a National Forest Service one, you know, so it's like on...
Oh, sorry, I must have forgotten that. I didn't realize it was Forest Service cabin.
Yeah, so it's just like okay. A Forest Service cabin.
Huh.
Like, yeah, I don't know. It just seems weird to me that they would think, like, oh, that they're just, like, scared of using anything in the trailer.
Yeah, that seems odd.
But again, like, why didn't they start a fire?
Yeah.
So, after Ted died, the other two chose to attempt to find help and died along the way. Like, that's what they think. But there are still questions as to why the men would have abandoned a perfectly operable car to walk through the snowy forest in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Like, why would you do that? And uh-huh. why walk through 20 miles of deep snow to break into a trailer and die? Like, why did you drive up there in the first place?
Uh-huh.
And how? And if someone was chasing them, why was the car undamaged?
Why was the car undamaged, period? It doesn't sound like any of them generally were driving up into the woods, so how come there wasn't anything underneath?
Yeah, like, why was the car in such pristine, like, why didn't it show that they were not experienced?
What the fuck?
So, who were the people that, like, our heart attack friend heard on the road that night?
The woman with the baby and all that shit, being sketchy and weird.
Yeah. Like, was that him hallucinating? You know, like, what was that?
Did people hallucinate after heart attacks?
I don't know. Maybe he was in such bad pain.
Huh.
But it just doesn't make any sense.
No. And they still haven't found Gary's body. Like, to this day?
So, to this day.
Shit, man.
I still have a little bit more. So then... Kay. Jack Madruga's mother goes in for an ominous force that made them go up into the mountains. I just, like, wanted to tell you some stuff that the family thinks. So, She can't picture someone getting the upper hand on the five men, but know that it must have happened. Which, again, like, it's five grown men.
Yeah.
You would think that it'd be hard to get five grown men to be compliant.
If you had a gun.
Well, yeah. Even then, like, if it's... I guess you'd have to have, like, five guns to point at all of them. I don't know.
Yeah, but the baby. The woman with the baby. If they're nice dudes, yeah. Maybe that crazy woman, she has a doll, and she has them convinced it's a real baby, and she's holding a gun on the doll.
Right?
Telling them, if you do anything, I will kill the baby. Anyways.
Uh-huh, okay. Okay, that's not where I went, but hold on. Okay, I went somewhere, but it wasn't there. And then Ted Weir's sister-in-law thinks that they must have seen something at the parking lot of the game. They might not have known that they saw anything, and, like, not even known that they were in danger.
Yeah.
But Gary's mother can't imagine, like, what they would have been so afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
She can't understand why that they didn't start a fire with all the paperbacks in the cabin unless they were afraid.
Yeah.
Like, unless they didn't want to draw attention to where they were.
There's no mafia in Chico, is there?
Not that I know of, but again, it's not like I lived there my whole life.
Yeah.
And foul play cannot be proven, but also, investigators can't explain this case if there isn't any foul play.
Yeah.
So what happened to Gary?
No shit.
He only thinks that he did die along with the other men. The whole string of events just seems, what?
I was going to say, yeah, probably, but it's just weird that they've never found him.
They never found him.
Yeah.
To this day, which is so crazy to me. Like, I was looking for, like, updates, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this is 78, so you would think, like, those woods have been through so many times, like, people have seen it.
Although, at this point, they've also been through more than a few fires since 78, so.
Very true. So, and also, like, yeah, again, like, who the fuck is the lady with the baby?
Yeah.
Like, that our unlucky heart attack friend, like, sees. And, like, how could a lady and her baby cause all five men to abandon the car? Like, that's the only thing that kind of stood out that guy seemed to see. And, like, the only other thing that I could think of was that maybe the lady with the baby was bait.
Yeah.
And, like, there were other more sinister people waiting to come, like, overcome the five men when they got out of the car.
But why, though?
Who knows?
Is what I still... fuck.
Like, that still seems so, like, urban legendy, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, it's bait, like, you know, those stories you hear about, like, people putting fucking babies in the road so single ladies will pull over and try to help the baby, and then someone... And it's just like, that doesn't seem real.
Yeah.
But again, the 70s, who the fuck, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then, like, also, that there may mean have been no woman with a baby. Like, maybe that wasn't even real. And, like, he really was hallucinating from the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, or that he just had a bad view out of his window through the storm.
And instead of seeing, like, a woman with a baby, he saw a dude with, like, 70s long hair. Kind of hunched around over in the snow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Maybe he just, like, was having a heart attack and couldn't recognize what he was seeing out his window.
But still, though, if he did see the five of them, why the hell didn't they come and help him?
Which is so weird, right? Like, well, you would think they would go help this poor guy. Yeah, it's so strange.
I don't understand anything about this.
From what I could find online, no development since the bodies were discovered.
Fuck!
Yeah, so... There you go. Just a really random, like, fucked up, almost hometown mystery.
Why do you do these ones to me? This is not the first time you've brought me just a complete mystery with nothing.
I know. It's like the kind of bizarre case that I just, like, need every once in a while. Where I'm just like,
fuck.
What the fuck happened? Like, it blows my brain up and I'm just like, what?
Shit, man. That was good.
Yeah. These are the ones I tend to lean towards.
Great, super glad that I'm home alone tonight. I'm totally not going to obsess over this. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyways, you can email us at serialsisters@outlook.com, and you can find us on Twitter and Instagram @serialsisters. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.